Well, good morning, Christ Community Church. It is so good to be here this morning to worship with you, and I pray that all of you had a good Thanksgiving. And we do have so much to be thankful for. Even in the troubled or hard times, God loves us, and the hope we have in the eternity to come, and the love of Jesus Christ are tremendous reasons to give thanks. I will be continuing on in my series of the Ten Commandments. And just for a little recap, we learned that these commandments and laws are God's way of helping us know what He expects. He helps us, or the law helps us to know what sin is and what to stay away from. We also know, because of them, what pleases the Lord and what we should pursue. Now, with Christ, we are not held to the letter of the law, but the principles behind the law are to be lived by. In the first commandment, we saw who we shall worship. God needs to be the most important in your life, and worship Him alone, and worship Him with everything you are. In the second commandment, we saw how we shall worship. How to worship. We worship God in spirit, and we are not to be distracted by idols, whether they represent God or whether they represent something else. They are all distractions. God alone is to be worshiped and not a representation. These first two commandments are good, because God loves us so much, He doesn't want anything to come between Him and us. He sent His Son Jesus to restore a broken relationship because of sin. Let us not distract that direct line to Him with other things. Today we will be looking at the third commandment. Let's read our scripture for today. I'll be reading out of Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Exodus 20, 7. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name. The name of the Lord is not to be misused. Some questions that run through my mind when I read this. So, two questions in particular. When I read this verse, what name of the Lord are we talking about? And what does it mean to misuse it? Those are the two questions that I intend to answer through my message today. So let's take a moment and just look at names. The names that we have and the names that we give our children are often names that sound good to our ears. And the meaning of the name may or may not be that important to us. Four of our children, my first four children, were given names because we liked the sound of them. And some of their middle names came from other family members, which made them important. But they really did just were names that we liked. Now our fifth and final child, Matthew, his name came about a little differently. Although we liked the sound of his name, the meaning of his name means God's gift. You see, Matthew was a little more of a surprise. His meaning to be God's gift is pretty significant for us. But more often than not, that's a rarity to name a child because of its meaning. Most children today are named because the parents simply like the name. Yet in biblical times, it was different. names were extremely important. A name was not just a label or used to identify a person. It was much more than that. A name suggested a person's personality or made a revelation. Made a revelation about that person. God's name reveals who He is and what He does. His name is His person, and it was understood that what you did to someone's name, you essentially did to that person. To disrespect someone's name was really to disrespect them personally. The same is with God's name. The way we use it is what we are doing to Him. There isn't a separation between His name and who He is. If we look at what the Israelites thought about the name of God, you will see how much they respected it. You see, His divine name was protected and cherished, and I'll get to what that divine name is in a moment. We know that the Israelites feared breaking this third commandment so much that when they reached the name of God in scriptures, when they were reading it out loud, when they reached His name, they would not say His name, but would insert a title. The title Lord or Master was used. The actual word was Adonai. That word was said instead of His name. Some of you might think this is a little weird. I would agree. Yet, we have done the exact same thing. We actually do it all of the time. When we read out of the Old Testament, we do just the same thing. Look at your Bibles, please. Open that verse that we read today again. Let's look at Exodus 20, verse 7, and see for yourself. You see, the true name of God, His divine name, is there, but it isn't. Our Bibles, almost all the modern English versions do this. King James Version, New American Standard Bible, the NIV, NLT, ESV, they all do it. We have the name of God, but we change it in a way that we still say Lord, but we change it in a way that we know that it is His name. That scripture for today. We say Lord, but look what is done with the spelling. They are all in capital letters. Some of you may have a large capital L and then like small caps. They're still capitalized, but smaller. Some of you may have just all uppercase capitalized letters in Lord. Every time you see Lord in all capital letters, it is actually the personal divine name of God in the Hebrew Scripture. Well, why do we do that? Is the reason that we put Lord there because we don't want to misuse the name of God either? I suppose it's possible. We are really following the traditional way of translation. But I think more likely there have been long arguments of how to pronounce the name of God, as the true pronunciation was lost long ago. And then there would be an argument of whether to use his name there or to translate His name into English, which we will see after a little while. Either way, it is profoundly important that you understand and realize that God's personal and divine name is everywhere in the Bible, though it's often not fully realized. You see, God's divine name consists of four consonants, YHWH or YHVH. Is actually, that name is used 6,828 times in the Bible, but we always see it as Lord. Now I pronounce God's name Yahweh, but I realize that the true pronunciation may have been different. But so let's take a moment and look at when God gave out his personal name. Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation.'" You see, God is giving Moses his personal and divine name. Up until this point, up until God introduces, up until God gives Moses his personal name, he's always been known as Adonai, which means Lord or Master, or he has been known as El Shaddai, which means God Almighty. You see, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they never knew God by his name, only by his title. And you might be wondering, well, I see the Lord's name used before this, in Genesis. Well, the reason why is the scriptures were simply written down after God introduces himself to Moses by name. How do we know this? We read about this in Exodus chapter 6, verse 3. "I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, the Lord," that's Yahweh, "I did not make myself known to them." God has been known by titles. But in Moses' conversation with God in Exodus 3:13, God tells him his personal name. Now there's a difference in the introductions. There's a difference in how God is known. You see, I could stand up here and say and introduce myself, I am pastor of Christ Community Church. That is a formal introduction. There's a difference between that and me coming down to you and saying, "Hi, I'm Joey." There's a difference between a formal introduction and a very personal one. You see, God came down to Moses and gave him his name. We also saw when Jesus came, he came down and dwelt among us. It's personal. Which one will be remembered more? The formal introduction or the more personal one? You see, we are a people who were created for relationships. We will often remember the more personal one. We will also prefer the personal introduction over an impersonal one. And I'll be coming back to this point a little later, but let's look at the name of God, the name that God gave Moses. I am who I am, or I am that I am, depending on your translation. You see, Yahweh is often translated as I am. God says, I am has sent me to you when Moses is supposed to go to the Israelites. There have been great writings and many theories, many arguments trying to fully understand why God used the name Yahweh, or what is roughly translated, I am. And why do I say roughly translated? Because this word is actually a verb that refers to continued unfinished action. I am, but it is continuing on in action. This would probably be better understood as I amming, continuing, or I always am. Again, a name is more than just a label, and God is expressing himself through this name. He is the one who always is. Have I confused you yet? I know I'm using terrible grammar, but I'm trying to help you understand that even in God's name, God is revealing something our minds struggle to comprehend. He is eternally existent. He always is. He is self-existent. He is, or he exists because of who he is. Yeah, that's getting deep, I know. But God gave his name to Moses, and it was to be given to the Israelites and then passed down to every generation. Ultimately, it is passed on to us. It is a name above all names. It is to be praised and revered. Psalm 8:1. In Psalm 8:1, we see the psalmist saying, O Lord, that's O Yahweh, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Then turn with me to Psalm 9:2. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. O Most High is Elyon, which means high God. We see the psalmist there in 9:2 expressing his praise to God's name, O Most High, Elyon. He's using a title there. There are literally too many scriptures that speak of praising the name of the Lord. And it doesn't have to just be his divine name, as we saw in Psalm 9:2. It is praising even the general term for God, with the understanding that they are praising the one and only true God. There is no separation. You praise his name, you praise him. You praise him, and you praise his name. They are together. The third commandment says his name is to be protected and not misused. It is clear that God's divine name is Yahweh, or I am. And it's clear that God's divine name is to be protected. But you see, God is known by other names, especially when we look at the Trinity. God is one, yet he is three. God is three, yet he is one. The others, you have God the Father, and then you have God the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is another name. It is in Jesus Christ's name that many of the apostles in Acts had performed miracles in his name by the power of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. It's another general term, but also a name. God is also referred by many titles. I already spoke of El Shaddai. That is God Almighty. El in Hebrew is a general reference that means God. We already saw that in Elyon, which means God Most High, or High God. Adonai, I brought up earlier, which means Lord or Master. That's also another title. I firmly believe that God's divine name is not to be misused, but I firmly believe also that Jesus and all these other titles to which we routinely and regularly reference to our God should not be misused either. God, Lord, Master, Savior, Jesus, Spirit, and the list goes on. Because what we call Him or identify Him and the Holy Trinity needs to be used in a manner of worship and not used in vain or misused. So now I'll be discussing that second question that was going through my mind. What is it to misuse the Lord's name? I think one of the first ways is to use it in a way that is in vain. The King James Version says, "Do not you shall not use the Lord's name in vain." Well, what does vain mean? Actually, vain means to fail, or to do something in vain means to do it and it means nothing, or it was pointless to even do. Vain also means to be empty and without substance. It is to use the Lord's name in a way that is pointless and empty. And many of us hear our Lord's name used in pointless and empty ways all of the time. It's frequent. I was kind of thinking of, I know a number of you in here are really hard workers, and several of you are carpenters. If you work with a shovel or a hammer or a particular tool for a very long time, like months or even years, what happens to your bare hands that are using that tool? They get calloused. The skin hardens, and you no longer have much feeling in those spots. The sad thing about using the Lord's name in vain is that if we do it or we are around it much, we often get calloused to it. We become so accustomed to it that we simply don't hear it, or we don't become offended when we do hear it. It is often all around us. There are many people who use the Lord's name in vain. And if it's not people around us, it's certainly in the media. It's certainly used heavily in movies and in television shows. I have a great example. Something you've probably heard or seen. Someone hammering on a nail, doing something, and all of a sudden they hit their finger. And what happens? They hold their hurting finger and they shout out, "SpongeBob SquarePants, that hurts." Well, that's usually not what they say. We often hear Jesus' name. Why is Jesus' name used so often in ways that have nothing to do with a prayer, that have nothing to do with praising Him? They're said without even a thought of Jesus in the true sense. His name is used in a way that brings no glory to Him, that brings no glory of what He has done for us. Why is His name the only one that is used in almost like a cursing way? I have another example. Another one that we probably hear frequently or see. I was thinking of many of you I know text on cell phones, and texting, you often have little short references to things. And you probably have seen OMG, those three letters. Well, what does that stand for? Now, some people would like to think that it stands for, oh my goodness. But most understand the G to mean God, and many people say just that every day in so many variety of circumstances. Is there reverence to God when that's said? And if it's you that's saying it, are you truly giving him praise, or has his title of God been reduced to just a phrase? In other words, has his name been reduced to a common phrase that has really nothing to do with God? It's empty and fails to bring him glory. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and say that I've never struggled with this. I won't say that. I know that there have been many times that after being immersed in it around me, that eventually it came out of my mouth. Those are not proud moments, but I was calloused to it. We cannot get calloused to it. When we hear our Lord's name used in vain, let it blister our ears. Let us not just say, oh well, it's just a saying and it hurts no one. It is hurting us. There is the third commandment that's saying this is hurting us when we do this. It's hurting our Lord to hear it. Now, is using the Lord's name in vain all there is? Or can it be misused in other ways? Yes, it can be misused in other ways. Leviticus 19:12, do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. This refers to someone taking a deceptive oath in God's name or invoking God's name to okay an action or an act in which the person is being dishonest. Here's an example. I'm not lying. I swear by God in heaven, I am not lying. If you're using God to justify a deception, this is misusing his name. Another misuse of the Lord's name is often heard in another common phrase, a phrase in telling God to curse someone. Again, if one is hurt or someone is unhappy with an outcome, they will often, or they may use a phrase, God, curse it. Now, I'm not going to say the real word in there. That's not for here. It starts with a D, and I know many of you know what that is. Even if we're faced with enemies, even when we're faced with trials, and we want to call on God to curse something, we've got some issues to work out. You see, Christ has called us to pray for our enemies. We are to pray for their souls to be saved, not to be cursed into hell forever. We are to pray that they will find their way into the Lord's grace and forgiveness. And we need to be careful what we ask for. We need to be careful in how we use the Lord's name. We should not toss it around like it means nothing or it is empty. Remember in the Lord's Prayer, we should be asking God to forgive us as we forgive others. Huh. That's a hard one. We may feel deep down that we want God to rip someone off this earth and give them what they deserve. But the truth is, God created them as he created us. God loves them as much as he loves us. He may not like their actions, but he loves them and he wants to see them to be redeemed and saved. And we should want that. Because none of us are perfect, and God has forgiven us. Now, speaking of the Lord's Prayer, you see, Jesus gave us an example of a prayer to follow. Not necessarily to recite, but to follow a pattern. The interesting thing is how that prayer begins in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed means holy. It means sacred. It means set apart. His name is holy. We see that this third commandment is coming out even in Jesus' words as he's giving an example of a prayer to follow. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. His name is holy. And I want to take a moment to read that verse, or to go through this verse a little more. Our Father in heaven. We are to have a close relationship with God, who is our Heavenly Father. His name is great and praiseworthy. His name is set apart. His name is holy. And that is how we begin in prayer, giving the Lord praise, approaching Him in reverence through prayer. The Lord's name is to be used with reverence. It's okay to use the Lord's name in a reverent way. And when I think about our God, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit, I see the love. You know, I see the love when God came down to Moses and gave him his name, Yahweh, or I Am. We are seeing that God is a personal God. He came down, he gave his name that is to be passed on for generation to generation. I'm not just a distant God saying, I am Lord. He comes down and he says, I am. That's my name. And then God planned to send Jesus to us. Jesus came down. He came down and dwelt among us. He showed us how to live and loved us completely by giving his life for us. It doesn't get any more personal than that. I love you so much that I will give you my life. Then we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within us, guiding us, comforting us. He is a part of us. That's personal. If God is first in your life, as we saw in the first commandment, and you worship Him without distractions, and He demonstrated the greatest love, then it is our privilege, it is an honor to respect His holy name, to respect all the titles that He goes by. He is the reason for our hope for an eternal future. Let us praise His name always. Not use it in vain, not misuse it in some other way, but to give His name praise. Let us praise His name.